So, so we're moving on with our series, The Ghost. And to be honest, I wasn't 100% happy this morning. Like, I was kind of prowling around. And the reason why, and I thought to myself, it's because I actually haven't been able to put the amount of effort into the message that I normally would, because Madison and Oots get married on Wednesday. Yeah. We're down to three sleeps. And the thing is that this week I've actually been, we've been running around and doing stuff, right? We had an emergency quick dash to meet up with some family members who won't be coming to the wedding and Taupiri and things like that. And so we kind of, I've felt like this week's been hijacked. And Madison has this design idea that she wanted to pull off around these banners, and it's been the bane of my life for about a month now. But finally, last night, we managed to get it all perfect and it's all right. And all we've got left to do now is to iron these things. But it's like, I felt like I wasn't going to be happy about the message. I wasn't happy with how it was going. And this morning, normally, before church, if I'm speaking, I will spend the whole, like, mine and God's place is the shower. Because when you're a mum, that's usually the only place the kids aren't, right? So even though my kids are now growing, that's still mine and God's place. And so normally I'll be kind of like practicing the message in my head. What are the points that I need to you know, really, you know, plow home, God? What is it that, you know? But my mind was going on all these different tangents. I was going down rabbit holes, and I'm like, okay, what is going on? And I thought, is it because I felt like I hadn't put the effort in? Is it because I feel like this week I've been so distracted? And actually, I realized this morning on my way in, that's not what it was. What my issue has been around this series and putting together this message is that, to all intents and purposes, this message is about trying to show you the value of the Holy Spirit, to show you what the value is in having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The thing is that ultimately it comes down to, I'm actually going to give you a whole bunch of information. And that's fine, because I love information. I'm an Enneagram 5. I am more than happy to deep dive into rabbit holes. I will talk conspiracy theories with you inside and out, because I absolutely love that sort of stuff and I find it fascinating. But it doesn't work really for the Holy Spirit. And the thing that I'm struggling with is that I'm going to give you this information, but I don't think it's going to do what I want it to do. And what I want it to do is, I want you to understand how amazing He is. I want you to understand that He is a person, that He has thoughts and He has feelings, but He will also become ultimately the best friend you will ever have. If you give yourself to the time and the effort to get to know the Holy Spirit, it will be the greatest relationship of your life. I'm serious. And I'm like, how, God, how do I explain this? Because I'm going to give them this information, which is good information, and you need it, and you need to have an understanding, and it's truthful information, and it's helpful information, but it's not going to get you to that place of having a relationship, because you have to do that. You have to be open to the Holy Spirit. You have to be open to having a relationship with Him. And when you have this relationship, your life will be changed. I'm promising you. I have been walking with God now since I was 15. Wait, hold on, how am I? I lie about my age all the time, so I can never actually remember how. So it's been a long time, right? God and I have been walking together for a long time. And the greatest relationship of my life is my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want you to get. That's what I want you to understand. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to pray, because I'm worried that what I'm going to tell you isn't going to convince you that He's the most important thing in your world. So I'm going to pray. So I'd like you to close your eyes. I'm going to take a moment for the Holy Spirit to come and sit on you, to sense His presence on you. For some of you, you may feel almost like a heaviness on your shoulders. You may feel like a weight. For others of you, you may get a little tingling in your hands. So Holy Spirit, come and sit with us. Holy Spirit, come. Make yourself known to us. We give you free reign. We welcome you in. That you would come, and by the end of this message, we would know that you are there. Amen. So for the last couple of years, I've been working for the church. Prior to working for the church, I worked in alternative education. Now, alternative education is where we work with students who are aged between 13 and 16 who are legally too young to be expelled but can no longer stay at mainstream. And I've been working in that environment for 20 years. I told my sister when she started up Te Ara Pautama, I would give her 12 months. And then 20 years later, I finally actually walked out the door. It's an interesting role, and it was really an interesting journey, and it taught me so much. And I changed in ways that I didn't think was possible. And the things that these kids taught me is so invaluable. And one of the things that I did see working with those kids, and I see it in people in the church, and it frustrates me as much with my students as it does with people in the church, and that is an inability for people to reach their full potential. I met these students, and yet they have got some horrific stories, some awful backgrounds, but they would still have this amazing potential within them. And I meet people in church, and yep, there's hurt and there's wounds, but they actually have these amazing potentials within them. And so many people never actually reach their potential. Now, it could be for various reasons, but pretty much it comes down to, I think, the fact that they don't actually have confidence in who they are. They don't know who they are, so therefore they don't have confidence in who they are. And in fact, it's one of those things I think we hear a lot. You know, he lacks confidence or she lacks confidence. And you've probably heard it said before, and it's been said quite often of students, it's been said of athletes, it's been said of business leaders. And typically, what we're saying is what we say when somebody lacks confidence, we're saying that they're not living to their full potential. They're not being all that they're created to be. There have been all kinds of studies that have been done around the impact of what having confidence or having too much confidence or having not enough confidence has done. What was really interesting is just recently, the American Journal of Social Science Research found that students who doubt their academic ability actually ended up by not attending school and therefore not actually, and increasing their anxiety, they wouldn't attend school and never actually reach their potential. It's actually true not just in school, but it's also true on the athletic field, right? In fact, Dr. Jim Taylor, who is a sports psychologist, one of the leading sports psychologists in America, he said he has studied the impact of mental confidence on an athlete's performance. And he has been quoted as saying this: confidence is the single most important mental thoughts. I find that interesting. It doesn't matter how much ability you have. You could be the most skillful person there, but if mentally you do not have confidence in yourself, you will never gain your full potential. That is interesting. But it's also true, they said, in the business world. Forbes magazine wrote an article in 2019, and what they discovered is that world leaders who lack confidence ended up by actually being completely ineffective as a leader. They might have had all the right tools, they might have had all the right skills, but if they actually lacked confidence in themselves, they were completely ineffective. Now, you probably didn't really need me to tell you about all of these research things to know that if you lack confidence, it's gonna have a great impact on you. You see, at some point in our life, every single one of us has felt the sting of a lack of confidence. A lack of confidence actually impacts all areas of your life, not just your school, not just your sport, not just your career. It actually impacts your relationships. Your lack of confidence in who you are, your lack of confidence will actually impact the relationships you have with your spouse, will impact the relationship you have with your children, it will impact the relationships you have with everybody around you. It's actually quite concerning. What's interesting is that sometimes we will meet people and we think they are full of confidence. We think that they are amazing people. And when you have a moment of transparency, when they're actually honest and you find out they are completely ill-equipped. They feel ill-equipped. They feel like they have no confidence in themselves, right? You've all met someone like that. So Eminem, the rapper, not the candy, he had this really interesting thing. A couple of years ago, he wrote a song with Beyonce, and it was called Walk on Water. And in this song, he actually shares about his struggle with confidence. Now, this is one of the greatest hip-hop artists of all time. He's one of the best-selling hip-hop artists, and he actually wrote a song about how he struggles with confidence. I want to quote it to you. I have changed out the swear words, so don't panic. Always in search of the verse that I haven't spit yet, will this step just be another misstep? To tarnish whatever the legacy, love or respect I've garnered. This rhyme has to be perfect, the delivery flawless. And it always feels like I'm hitting the mark till I go and sit in the car, listen and pick it apart. Like this crap is garbage. God's given me all this, still I feel no different regardless. Kids look to me like as to a god, this is retarded. If only they knew that's a facade and it's exhaustive. And I try not to listen to nonsense, but if you people are trying to strip me of my confidence, mission accomplished. So here is a man who has so much. He has so much success. He has 15 Grammys to his name. He has all this wealth. He is a master of his craft, and yet he can sit there and pick apart his own work and be critical and not have confidence in what he's written and what he's saying. So clearly, wealth and success in our careers, in our personal lives, in our schooling, doesn't actually equate to having confidence. And maybe you've felt this. Maybe there have been some aspects of your life where you have not felt confident. And what's interesting is over the last several decades, to try and combat this, we've seen the rise of what is called the self-esteem movement. In the self-esteem movement, we have drunk from a culture where every kid gets a trophy. This is completely alien to me. I grew up in a household where second place is first loser. You think I'm joking, but I'm not. Where there are no scores kept in kids' games, right? Where everyone has said that they are a winner. And what we've been desperately trying to do is to bolster our self-confidence. We're trying to bolster our self-esteem, but it actually hasn't worked. We still struggle with confidence. The self-esteem movement has come in, and it has not worked. From my perspective, it has not worked, right? And what it's actually delivered on, has it actually delivered on what it said it would? Has it made people more confident? Are people actually happy with their lives? We spend so much time talking about self-esteem when really we should be esteeming God. We spend so much time looking for self-confidence. Dr. Lawrence Slater is a psychologist, and she's done a lot of research on what you would call the damages of the self-esteem movement. And in an article in the New York Times, she wrote this. People with high self-esteem are actually a greater threat to those around them than people with low self-esteem. See, feeling bad about yourself is not the cause of our country's biggest, most expensive social problems. Dr. Slater said that the self-esteem movement has failed us. Not only her, but quite a few other psychologists now are coming out and saying the same thing. And I think that the push for the self-esteem movement has given rise to what we're seeing now and today in our world, and now with the fight for gender ideology, because we are too often esteeming ourselves. Roy Boy Meister is a psychologist, and he researched gang leaders and students and convicts, and he found that most of them actually have a high amount of self-confidence. And so their self-confidence did not result in a fruitful life. And there are many who have gone through the self-esteem movement. And you know what they've said? It caused me to focus on myself. And it hasn't actually delivered me joy or peace or satisfaction. So what do we do? Like, honestly, what are we supposed to do? The self-esteem movement has not worked. Trying to gain more self-confidence is not working for us. It's not about a self-confidence issue. So no confidence isn't a good thing. Self-esteem has failed. Is there a solution to this struggle? Is there a solution to this need that we have? Does the Christian faith, does Jesus have anything to offer us? There is. I want us to look at one passage. This is the central passage that we're going to hang everything off today. It's found in the book of Ephesians. We're going to look at two verses. And I want to assure you that there is a solution. And it's a better solution than having no confidence. And it's a better solution than trying to bolster your self-esteem. And we're going to see what the Holy Spirit does. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He gives you Holy Spirit confidence. Now, I just want to do a quick reminder for you, particularly if you're not a Christian or you haven't been walking with God long, you need to understand that we believe that God is three in one, that He is one God in three persons. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's important that you remember that because it's a relationship with all three that will actually build your life. The Holy Spirit is going to build confidence, God confidence, Holy Spirit confidence, into your life. So Ephesians 1 verses 13 to 14. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. This is such a rich passage, and we will return to this several times through the morning. And Paul wrote this to a group of Christians who are living in Ephesus. And he says to them, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is promised to those of us who walk with God, who believe in Jesus. Jesus Himself said, I must go so I can send you the Holy Spirit. And He's saying to us, you need the Holy Spirit. Believe me, you want the Holy Spirit. He's saying it's better for Him to leave because the Holy Spirit will get us through more so. There are a few verses in the Bible where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to His disciples. John 14, verses 16 to 17. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither know Him, but you know Him, because He remains with you continually and will be in you. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things, and He will help you remember everything that I have told you. John 15, 26, but when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father. He will testify and bear witness about me. John 16, 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. So you see, what happens is that Jesus dies on the cross for our sins, and He's resurrected from the dead, and the Holy Spirit is sent to those of us who believe. If you believe on the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will then come and make His life with you. He is the promise for us who believe. But I want you to notice that in all of those verses that I just read in John, Jesus calls Him the Counselor, the Comforter. And I want you to show you what it looks like in the original Greek, just because it looks cool and I'm kind of a geek like that. So Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. The New Testament, of course, was written in Greek. So this is what it would look like. That word is transliterated into paraclete. It's a compound Greek word meaning para and kaleia. Para means to come alongside. It's a soft word. It's a relational word. Kaleia is different. It's a strong word. It's a hard word. It means to call out. Like, I'm going to call something out of your life. I'm calling you out. I'm going to call out the truth in your life. See, para, the Holy Spirit comes alongside because He loves on you, but He will call out truth in your life. The Holy Spirit is the Counselor. He's the one who calls out truth in our life. He's the one who nudges you when you're about to do something wrong. When you had that slight moment of hesitation, that's the Holy Spirit going, that's not what we do. But He will come alongside you and He will lead you into truth. You see, this is what great counselors do. I know there's a new kind of thought around counseling that they wait for you to come to the decisions for yourself. Bollocks, that's not what a good counselor does. What a good counselor does, the best kind of counselor, is one who will call out truth in your life, who will see where you're going, see the mistakes you're about to make, and will call the truth out for you. They will call out what needs to change. See, the Holy Spirit will come alongside you. He will give you comfort, but He's also going to tell you the truth. Jesus sent Him. He was our promised one. I've been at Revive now for almost 17 years. And in that time, there have been two major occasions where I have had need of a counselor. And so what would happen is I would ring Pastor Mark from Wellington. See, Pastor Mark runs the Wellington CRC Church, and he's an amazing, amazing man of God. I love Mark. He is my pastor. I don't go to Mark for other things. I just go to him because when I need to be pastored. And so what would happen is on these two occasions where I've needed him, one of them, he jumped on a plane and he came up. Within 24 hours, he was here. And he sat down with me, and we talked about some stuff. And he came alongside me, and he told me the truth about some stuff. And sometimes that's hard to hear. But you've got to have counselors who do that, who are honest. Problem is, Mark's not here all the time. He lives in Wellington. So I don't have access to him all the time. In fact, I think Craig would be annoyed if I said to him, Mark's now living with us. Right, you know? Like, Craig would be like, baby, he's got to go home. Like, you know, I can't have Pastor Mark as my counselor all the time. But I have the Holy Spirit, who is my counselor, and I have him all the time. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he moves in, and he stays, and he's alongside you always. And he will call out the truth in your life. He will nudge you. He will never stop. Having the Holy Spirit as your counselor means I don't have a counseling appointment. It means I don't have a counseling time. It means that I don't have a certain amount of time that I have to get up from the couch and walk out. That is not what the role of the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is with me always. I never leave the counselor of the Holy Spirit. I never leave his office. He doesn't tell me our time's up and I have to move on. He is always with us. If you've ever been to counseling before, had therapy of some kind, and when you had that moment and that breakthrough in counseling, and when you walk out, you're feeling good because you got a plan, or you got that bounce in your step, and you feel like, yeah, actually, things are going better, and I got a plan, and I'm moving forward. You're moving forward with confidence, and that's what it's like when you have the Holy Spirit in your life. Your whole life is lived moving forward in confidence. You can speak into situations that maybe you don't feel confident in the natural, but because you have the Holy Spirit, you can step into it. I'm going to be honest with you. Most people have this wrong perception of me. Because you see me on stage or you see me ministering, you actually think I'm really confident in what I do with God. I'm actually a bit of an airhead. Seriously, ask my kids. Ask my husband. I can be really dipsy, like seriously dipsy. Like, it's people don't believe me. What you see and what you experience is Trinity with the Holy Spirit. That's generally what people get in church. And honestly, that's awesome. When I'm outside of that role, honestly, I shudder at myself. You know, there's a reason why Craig calls me a passenger princess. There's a reason why I'm an airport princess. Like, I just like rock up and I'm like, where are we going? He's like, we've been talking about this for 3 weeks. Have you packed? Nope. We went to Australia once. We get there and I said to him, oh, I need to go to the mall. And he's like, we just got here. Yeah, but I didn't pack anything. And he's like, what do you mean you didn't pack anything? I said, I've only got the jeans I'm wearing and pajamas. And he's like, how can you not pack anything? I don't know, I just didn't pack. Like, that's what I'm like. So that's what you experience with me with church is not actually how I am. That's the Holy Spirit giving me confidence. Failed me. But spirit confidence. Confidence that comes from the Spirit who has moved in and lives in my life. That's what we have. Let's look again at Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. I want you to notice in this verse, it does not say that you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. It says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And there is a big difference between being sealed by or being sealed with. It's not as if the Holy Spirit used something else to seal you. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit himself. There's a hit TV show called Yellowstone. Now, if you can't handle violence, don't watch it. Because Yellowstone is actually kind of like Sopranos for cowboys. Now, I actually really enjoy it. And it's about the Yellowstone Park, the Dutton Ranch, and what happens is that there's this young guy, Jimmy. And in the very first episode, you see it. So Jimmy comes along, his grandfather brings him to the Dutton Ranch, and the grandfather comes to John Dutton, who's the owner of the ranch, and he says, Jimmy's a felon. No one's going to hire him. He has no place in society. He has no one to support him. Can you please take him on? And eventually, John Dutton decides, you know what? We're going to take on this kid. And so they take Jimmy, and they move Jimmy in, and he's with all the other ranch hands. And then that night, what happens is they come, and they drag Jimmy out of the house. And they take him into a paddock, and they get a long iron that has the Yellowstone logo, and they put it in the fire, and it heats up. And then they take this branding iron, and then they seal the Yellowstone logo into Jimmy's chest. And what that says to everybody, including Jimmy, is that he now belongs, that he now has family, that he is now a part of the Yellowstone, that he is sealed. And so you had this guy who had nowhere to go, who had no hope, who had no family, he comes along and he gets sealed by the Yellowstone seal. Now, the longer you watch Yellowstone, you realize that the Dutton family isn't that great. They're not that nice. They're pretty kind of terrible. They're really flawed. And they don't always have the best intentions. But when you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're sealed with the one who always has your best intentions in mind. Even if you don't think it is, if you surrender yourself to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, he will see you through. You are sealed with the one who is pure and who is perfect. You are brought into his family and you are sealed and you now belong to him. You've been brought into the family of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are his forever. And you belong to the ones whose intentions are always good. Now, Craig already talked about this last week, but I just want to kind of bring it back up. Is in the Old Testament, that kings would often seal a letter or a document with a signet ring or a signature ring. They would write a letter, and then they would put their ring on the letter as a seal to essentially say that this letter belongs to me, and it belongs to my authority as the king, and I seal it. And what you have to understand is that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It means that we are also under the authority of King Jesus. We belong to him. We actually now live under the authority of King Jesus. Your life is not your own. You have been bought with a price. And just like Jimmy in Yellowstone, we belong to his family. But we are sealed under the authority of King Jesus. And I think that's a beautiful thought, because he's pure and he's perfect. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit under his authority. This has been a really good thing in my Christian life, because there are many times when I've been tempted to step out of the authority of God. And very quickly you learn that's not a good idea, and we move ourselves back into the authority of God. People will often say, oh, well, I don't feel God anymore. God's obviously moved away. It's not God that moves. I've learned this. It's usually myself. I'm the one who's drifted. I'm the one who's wandered. So if you're in a situation where you think God isn't with you, God's not the one that moved. You need to assess where you're at and get yourself back into right relationship. If you've ever been on a missions trip and you go to like these remote villages, Craig has always said, you know, you got to drink bottled water. You can't drink the water that's at the village. Like, you must drink the bottled water. I did have an experience where I did not listen, and we will never do that again. You have to drink the bottled water. The thing that you also have to be really careful about is when you get the bottled water, you have to make sure that that water bottle is still sealed. Yeah. If you get a water bottle that is unsealed, it's highly likely the water in there is not pure. When you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, you may not feel pure. I often don't feel pure because I have a temper. I often don't feel pure because we still struggle with shame and with sin, and we struggle, but Jesus has declared us to be pure, and he has sealed us with his Holy Spirit, and we are pure because he has made us pure. We are forever his. You are forever his son, you are forever his daughter. And if you believe in him, because he has sealed you and you are under the authority of him, you are in his family and you are under his authority and you are sealed, it means you are sealed with his purity and both his grace and with his mercy. You are now and forever his child, not because of your performance, but because of his promise. See, I'm not the one who keeps myself a Christian. I'm not the one who keeps myself in a relationship with God. I am a Christian because I'm sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when it gets hard, I lean into that promise. When it gets hard, I submit myself to the authority that I am under. When it gets difficult and I want to kind of give up and stomp away, I remember that God has made me pure and I can lean in to him. You see, it's not about having self-confidence. It's about having confidence that comes from the Spirit. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Madison, if you could come on the keys, please. The Holy Spirit is our down payment. It says he is the guarantee of our inheritance. You see, when this was written thousands of years ago, it still carries the same thought, right? If you put a down payment down, you can then take whatever it is and use it and enjoy it. You see, the Holy Spirit moves into our life. The Holy Spirit is our down payment that we can start enjoying our relationship with God right now. But the Holy Spirit is also our down payment guarantee that our future redemption is coming. It's our promise that there is a time coming that we will be with God forever, that we will dwell with him forever. And the Holy Spirit is our down payment. And God never defaults on his debts. He paid for us in full when he sacrificed himself on the cross. And the Holy Spirit is our guarantee for our salvation, guaranteeing our redemption. I'd like us to stand and just turn our attention to the Lord. Maybe close your eyes if you get distracted. Just focus upon God. See, no confidence is misery. Self-confidence is misery. Confidence in the Spirit is much better because the Holy Spirit has moved into the life of every Christian. He's come alongside you. He's with you. He's your confidence. The Holy Spirit is the one who protects you. He's always with you. He has made you pure. You are fully forgiven. The Holy Spirit is your confidence because the Holy Spirit guarantees a day is coming when all of your wrongs are going to be made right. When the curse is reversed, when all the things in your world that has brought you pain are going to be completely undone. The Holy Spirit is your confidence because he's with you and he always has your best interests in mind. And so my confidence comes from my counselor, from my comforter. When this world beats you up, remind yourself, my confidence comes not from this world, which can be so traumatic at times, can be so devastating. This world can be so painful. That's not where my confidence comes from. My confidence comes from my counselor. I'm not going to place my confidence in myself. I'm going to place my confidence in Jesus. I'd like to pray. Just pray for everyone. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the one who secures my forgiveness. That you're the one, Jesus, who gives me life. That you're the one who gives me meaning and purpose. I place my confidence in you, Jesus, not in myself. The moment I believed in you, Jesus, the moment I heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and I believed, is the moment that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has moved into my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that I don't have to have confidence in myself, for I now have confidence in you, which is far, far better. For some of you today, this is the day that you should believe in Jesus, to become his son, to become his daughter. And if you are ready right now to receive his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness, to believe in him, why don't you, right where you are, pray something like this, or I'm going to pray and you can just agree with me. Because it's actually not the words that you pray that matter, it's what your heart is saying. and that the God you're praying to will bring forgiveness and salvation. So, dear God, I don't trust myself for salvation. I trust you. I don't place confidence in myself to earn my way to you. I receive that you came here for me, that Jesus died on the cross for my sin and my shame, and I place my faith in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Will you forgive me and make me your daughter, your son, your child? Seal me and make me yours forever. In your name I pray. Amen. So if that was you this morning, if that was the first time you ever prayed that, or maybe you've drifted from God, I want you to know that you are now marked with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit is coming alongside you. This is actually the most important moment in your life, because it's not only going to affect you today, it's going to affect your world tomorrow. It's going to affect your family and then the generations to come. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. If this is the first time you've made that commitment, you can fill that out, drop it into the drop box. If you don't have a Bible, we would like to gift you a Bible if you would see them at the info desk. But I want you to leave today knowing that the Holy Spirit is a person and that He's right there. And if you haven't done so yet, this week, start talking to Him. I talk to the Holy Spirit all the time. I tell Him everything. Not just even the important things, sometimes the dumb things. Like, just start talking to Him. And you'll begin to sense Him, sense and know that He's there. Do you think you can do that? Yeah? Awesome.